I want you to listen very carefully while I read from a most familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to read about 7 or 8 verses from John chapter 3, John the 3rd chapter. If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, get your Bible and open it to John chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can these things be? Now, Nicodemus was a very devout and deeply religious man. And I believe Nicodemus was a very sincere man. I believe he came to Christ in all sincerity, wanting some information, some understanding. I'll tell you why I believe that. A little later in John chapter 7, verse 50, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, was meeting with this group of Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, a high Jewish court, and they were sitting in condemnation and judgment of Jesus of Nazareth. And Nicodemus stood up and defended the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Our law does not condemn a man until it first hears him and finds out what he's doing. He stood before his fellow Pharisees and defended the Lord Jesus. I tell you another reason why I believe Nicodemus was a sincere man. In John 19, when our Savior died on the cross, Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea. You remember who Joseph of Arimathea is? He's the one who gave the tomb in which no man had ever lain, the tomb in the garden where they buried the Lord Jesus Christ. And Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea, who was a secret disciple of Christ for fear of the Jews. And they buried the body of Jesus Christ. So he was a devout man, a very religious man, a very moral man, and I believe a sincere man. But Nicodemus did not understand that eternal life and salvation is not by obedience to the law of ceremonies and tradition and rituals and religious works. He did not understand that eternal life and salvation is not by our doing and our duties, but it's by the grace of God through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you 4 things which Nicodemus did not know, which we ought to know. Here are 4 things. You listen carefully. All spiritual blessings which Almighty God has for sons of Adam is in Jesus Christ through the person and redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and the knowledge of God. It's in Christ. It's like Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ." That's where all that God has for sinners is vested, in the person of His Son. Now that's so. Second thing that Nicodemus didn't know, we need to know and ought to know, that these spiritual blessings become ours by a union with Christ. It's like the branch in the vine. And the vine draws all its nourishment, the branch draws all its nourishment from the vine. Its fruit is the fruit of the vine. We're in Christ as the branch is in the vine, as the head is a part of the body. Christ is the head, we're the body. So these blessings are ours because we're in Him. We're in a living union with Christ Jesus. We have what He has. What God has given through the Son is ours. Thirdly, and Christ is saying this to Nicodemus, that this union is accomplished by a new birth. We're heirs of God because we're sons of God. We're heirs of God because we're sons of God, and we're sons of God because we're born of God. I'm my Father's heir because I'm His son. And I was begotten by a living human father, and that makes me His heir. And he that is born of God is an heir of God. If we're sons of God, we're heirs of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Now here's the fourth thing. And this is what Christ is saying to Nicodemus. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And they're ours by a union with Christ. And that union with Christ is by a new birth. We're born sons of God. And here's the fourth thing he's saying, is this new birth is by the will of God. It's by the will of God. He said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it pleases. And you hear the sound, but you can't tell from whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. They're born mysteriously, supernaturally, by the will of God. And they're born by the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit of God is spirit. And also, they're born by the Word of God. Christ said you must be born from above of the Spirit and the water. That's the Word. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. And Peter wrote, we're born again, not with corruptible seed, but with incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? These mysteries, how can they be? How can these mysterious blessings come to pass? I don't understand. Job asked that question. He said, how can a man be just with God? He said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? He said, what is man that he should be clean? He that's born of a woman, that he should be righteous before God? Will God indeed dwell with man? These are mysteries. And Nicodemus didn't understand them. And he said, how can they be? How can these things be? And then our Lord answered him and he said, Nicodemus, are you a master? What is a master? It's a teacher. Often the disciples called our Lord master, master. And that's teacher. And Christ said, Nicodemus, are you a teacher? A master in Israel? And you don't know these things? And he said in the next verse, if I have told you earthly things and you don't understand and don't believe, how could you believe if I told you heavenly things? These mysterious things of God. How could you understand if I told you those if you don't understand the earthly things that I've told you? What are the earthly things that he told him? Do you remember the scripture as I was reading it? What are the earthly things that Christ told Nicodemus? Well, one of them is this. Natural men do not have spiritual light. You say, where did he tell him that? He said, you must be born again. Except a man is born again, he cannot understand or enter the kingdom of God because he's flesh. And natural men do not have spiritual life. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. They've got to be born again. That's an earthly truth. We're dead in sin. We have no life. Here's the second truth he told. Natural men cannot give themselves birth and life. They can't born themselves. Except a man is born, he said, of the Spirit of God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the third earthly thing he told in this is natural men do not have the power to command the birth to come to them or to command God to do anything. He said, you hear the wind, you see the effects, you cannot command the wind, you cannot demand anything of the wind, you cannot make it do what you want it to do. So natural men have no spiritual life. They must be born again. Natural men cannot give themselves spiritual life. It has to be by the Spirit of God. And natural men cannot command God to give them life. They can ask Him. They can seek it. They can pray for it. But they can't command it. You remember when Ezekiel was taken by God to the Valley of Dry Bones. And he looked at, there had been a great battle fought there years before. And all these bones were everywhere, dry, parched, bleached in the sun. And God spoke to his servant. He said, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, well, you know. He said, well, preach to them, command them to live, command them to hear. So Ezekiel said, I preached to them. And they came together, bone to its bone, flesh upon the bone, but there was no life in them, no life. And God said, command the wind and say to the wind, O breath of God, breathe on these bones that they may live. So I prophesied to the wind and I cried, O breath of God, and they stood up a mighty army and lived. And then our Lord said, listen, Nicodemus, no man hath ascended to heaven. No man can ascend to heaven. No man can penetrate the courts of God. No man can understand the mysterious counsels of God. Can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty to perfection? You can't find these things out. They have to be revealed. And he says, there is someone who can reveal it. No man can ascend to heaven. No man can penetrate the councils and courts of heaven. But there's someone who can. Listen to verse 13. He that came down from heaven, even the Son of God, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Christ is talking about himself. He's saying, you can't discover these mysteries. And you can't find the answer to how these things can be. But I can tell you, he that came down from heaven, even the Son of God, the Son of Man. Now listen, which is in heaven. Christ is God. And though he walked on this earth in human flesh, he never left the presence of the Father, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He's able to reveal. He's able to manifest. He's able to tell you, teach you, reveal to you how these things can be because of who he is. That's right. Paul wrote in Hebrews, God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And then he describes him. He's the heir of all things, by whom God made the worlds, who is the brightness of his glory, who's the exact image of his person, who holds all things together, who by himself purged our sins, who is seated at the right hand of God. Listen, and he'll tell you how these things can be. Will you listen? How can God be just and justifier? How can he be clean, born of a woman? How can a man be born again? How can God be just and justifier? Here's the remedy. Here's the answer. Verse 14. You've read it many times. Read it again. Verse 14. Christ said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What is this? What happened in the wilderness? Israel murmured against God, complained and rebelled against God. And God sent fiery serpents into their midst. And these fiery serpents had bitten the people, and they were dying. And Moses cried to God for mercy, for healing. And God said, Moses, make a serpent of brass in the likeness of the serpent that had bitten the people. Put it on a pole, lift it up between heaven and earth, and it'll come to pass, everyone that looks will live. Now, we're bitten by serpents of sin. We're bitten by sin, and we're fallen creatures. We've rebelled against our God. And our God sent His Son into this world, made in the likeness. Now, Moses made a serpent in the likeness of that serpent that had bitten the people. Christ was made in the likeness of our problem, sin, of the serpent that had bitten us, sin. And our Lord came to this earth and was lifted up on a cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man was lifted up, and He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And all who look live. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By stripes we're healed. It's look to Christ and live. His perfect life is our righteousness, and His death is our justification. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them who in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the remedy. That's how these things can be. Christ our justifier, Christ our sanctifier, Christ our righteousness, Christ our substitute. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man, the Son of God, the substitute for sinners, be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him. All right, here's the results. Here's the results in verse 15. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, God said to him, it'll come to pass that whosoever looks lives. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ said, that whosoever believeth on Him may have eternal life. He does not fail. He cannot fail. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. He cannot fail. No man ever came to Christ seeking mercy who failed to find it. Now, you look through the Word. Everyone who came to Christ with a need, with a burden, with a sinful soul, and sought mercy, found it. Everyone. He delights to show mercy. David said that in Psalm 130. He said, Lord, out of the depths have I cried unto Thee. Lord, hear my prayer. If Thou shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared and worshiped. All right. How can these things be? Here's the remedy. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on Him, here's the results, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, here's the reason. There's a reason for this. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The reason for the gift of life is found not in us, it's found in God. The reason for salvation is not found in us, it's found in God. It's the mercy of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the gift of God. That's what eternal life. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The death of Christ for our sins. Listen to me. The death of Christ for our sins is not the cause of God's love. It's the effect. Christ Jesus didn't die on the cross to get God to love us. He died on the cross because God did love us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice four things about the love of God. Arthur Pink, pointed this out in one of his books. Four things about the love of God. Number one, the tense of his love. It's always God so loved. God is love. God is love. Somebody said, well, God's a God of love. No, that's not the way to say it. God is love. The love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It forevermore endures, even the saints or angels' songs. That's the tense of his love is always. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. What's the magnitude of his love? God so loved, he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. God gave. That's the magnitude of his love. Thirdly, the design of his love. That everyone who believes should never perish. Never perish. That's the design of his love. That's the design of his death. That's the design of his atonement. That those for whom he died will never perish. Never perish. And no man will pluck them out of his hand, he said. My Father gave them to me. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. They'll never perish. And what's the benefits of his love? Everlasting life. Here's the remedy. How can these things be? How can a man be born again? How can a man be clean, born of a woman? How can man be just with God? How can God Almighty be just and justifier? Well, here's the remedy. Here's the remedy. As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's the results, that whosoever believeth on him might have everlasting life. And here's the reason. God so loved. And oh, the magnitude of his love. He gave his only begotten Son. And oh, the reason and design of it. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the conclusion. In verse 17, he tells Nicodemus this. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. This is the condemnation. Light is coming to this world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Christ Jesus didn't come to condemn. He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of Man is coming to the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. Call his name Jesus, the angel said to Joseph. He shall save his people from their sins. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. God sent his Son to save his people. In Luke chapter 19, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And now look at verse 18. And he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which in Christ Jesus the Lord. If you read that 8th chapter of Romans, there are 5 questions that the Apostle Paul asked that are the very grounds of our assurance. Here they are. He said, number one, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? The third question, who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. It's Christ that is risen. It's Christ that is ascended. It's Christ that's seated at the right hand of God. The fourth question, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who can condemn? Who can charge us? Are we not chargeable? Well, of course we are. We'll admit it immediately. We'll admit it any time. We're always chargeable. We're not perfect. Paul said in Timothy, he said, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I haven't laid hold upon that for which God laid hold of me in Christ Jesus. I'm chargeable, but no one can charge me because it's God that justified me. Now here's the fifth question. Who can separate us from the love of God? I'm persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He that believeth is not condemned. Now listen. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God. He's condemned because he has not believed on Christ. He has no mediator. If a man does not believe on Christ, he has no substitute. He has no sin offering. He has no great high priest. He has no atonement. He has no one to plead for him before God. He does not have a mediator. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, if any man sin, and that's a foregone conclusion. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. But when any man sins, if he's a believer, we have an advocate. We have a mediator who is Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is at the right hand of God, and he ever intercedes for us. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's Christ. Now, he that believeth on the Son, he has a mediator. He has an intercessor. He has an advocate. But if a man believes not on Christ, he's condemned. He has no mediator. He's got to stand before God in his guilt, in his sins, in his wickedness, forever condemned, because he has no mediator. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has no mediator. Now, if you'd like to have this message on tape, it's called How Can These Things Be? I believe that's as plain as I can make this gospel message. If you'd like to have it now, the address will be on the screen. If you'll send $2, that's what it cost us to make them and send them. And we'll mail you this tape, How Can These Things Be? Now, until next week at this same time, may God bless you, everyone.